Jacob. The Good Friday, Maundy Thursday, Resurrection Sunday. Well, we're still celebrating Easter. Today is Ascension Sunday. Does anybody know what Ascension means? No? It means rising up or going up. So the month after Easter, Jesus came to his disciples several times, and he told them he was going to rise up and go to heaven and live with his Father. So he did. Just like a balloon rises up. They stood there and they saw Jesus rise. Just like that. And they stood there and they watched. And they looked really sad. Have you ever seen a child that had a balloon somewhere and they accidentally let it go? What did they usually, a little one here grinning, what do they usually do? Do they cry? Yeah. Well, the disciples were standing there, and they were just looking up, looking so sad. And an angel came to them, two angels, and said, but he promised he was going to come back. So you shouldn't be standing there sad. Jesus wants you to go into the world and tell people that he lives. So who can tell me when this balloon will come down? If I let it go all the way up. When will it come down? When what? When it gets flatter. But when's that going to be? You don't know? Same thing with Jesus. We don't know when he's going to come back. But the promise is that he will return. So just like the balloon, we don't know when that's going to happen. So what do you think we should do until he comes back? What does he want us to do? Does he want us to tell people that he lives? Does he want us to do good deeds? Does he want us to help people to live like he wants us to live? Not just stand around and wait. Make our lives worth something. Make our lives meaningful. And then when Jesus returns, we're going to be ready. But we don't know, just like the balloon, we don't know when that's going to be. This was a Bible verse. Men of Galilee, why are you standing here staring at the sky? Jesus has been taken away from you into heaven. And someday, just as you saw him go up, he will return. And that's our promise from him. Can we pray? Jesus, thank you for the children. Thank you for our patience. Let us have the patience to wait for your return. And during that time, let us rejoice in your resurrection and your return to us one day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Spirit of the Lord, we are by the Spirit of the Lord.
morning. The gospel lesson this morning is from John chapter 17, verses 20 through 26, and may be found on page 111 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. The header for this says, Jesus prays for his disciples. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Being one through Christ Jesus. Anybody read the newspaper lately? Turn the TV on and watch a newscast? Follow a blog or go online and read your news online? Would unity occur anywhere in your thought process? Maybe disunity, discord, anxiety. Those are things of the earth. Like last week, what we were talking about is the peace of Christ, that shalom, that even in the insanity of man and humanity, there's a possibility. I believe an absolute possibility through a faith that we can still be at peace in our hearts. You know, yesterday we did something that we do the first Saturday of every month. With a partnership with the Cryer Center, they bring their mobile food pantry up here and we give out food. The only criteria is that they meet the needs based by the Cryer Center, who's working off of our social services. So we're trying to feed those who are needy. But if somebody comes in and they don't qualify, we have food, which has been generously provided by you, the membership of the church, and other members of our community. So even if they don't qualify for something that's funded by USDA or some other entity, they're not leaving here without food. They come needing food, they will receive food. There are people from different churches that partner with us, whether it's Philippi or Zor or Clarksbury. When we're out there working, it's not that we're Clarksbury or Zor or Philippi. We're one. Why is it when we do service things that we can put away self and sacrifice and serve others? Our unity is to be based on, founded by, and supporting and underpinned by our faith and trust in God, the hope for things not yet seen. When Jesus Christ ascended into heaven and the two angels said, as you see him going up, he will return. That's a promise, and I believe it. I bet my life on it. Well, Jesus, in that night, before he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane and is betrayed by one of those very people that is there having dinner with him in the sequence of events in John 17, Jesus begins to pray for his disciples. There's a very, very important line. It's the first of the verses, verse 20. Jesus is asking the Father, I ask not only on behalf of these, the apostles, minus one, because Judas has left, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word. Now, why do I think that is important? Because those who will believe in me through their word is you and me and these children and their children. Until that 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 day when the trumpet sounds and the clouds part and Jesus descends. Until that day, the word of God that's been imbued in the disciples and spread throughout Pentecost, spread throughout all of those 5,000 that witnessed Pentecost, and we'll get on that next week because we'll have red flame and all that good stuff next week. But when we celebrate the power of the word, the power of the ministry, the power of the grace, the power of the love of Jesus Christ, it is because the disciples received it, believed it, felt it, and then shared it with such conviction and such faith in spite of insurmountable trials and tribulations. You talk about being squeezed, be stuck on a stake, being burned. That ain't fun. Persecuted. Even killed. But they would not surrender or give up their faith and their absolute hope in Christ Jesus and his saving power. As we receive the body that's given in this bread, the blood which is shed in this grape juice that represents for us the real body of Christ and his blood. His body given for each and every one of us. His blood shed for each and every one of us for a purpose. There was nothing that Jesus did without purpose. There was purpose to everything that Jesus did and everything that Jesus said. And John records this and gives this to us, not because the disciples need to hear it, but because you and I will believe what Jesus has said and what Jesus has done because we hear it. And the power of God is not just those miracles, but it's his word. Because as we hear the word, now you can be an imperfect vessel, but when you speak the word of God, if you speak it earnestly and they hear it earnestly, the power of God is not diminished no matter who speaks it, no matter who hears it. There's still power in it. There's still the choice that each and every one of us has to accept or reject. It's your choice. The same promise, the same hope, the same faith is there for everyone. Regardless of what your conditions, where you were raised, who taught you, what color you are, how you were raised, how you were educated, how many years of school you had, how many diplomas you have. Verse 21, that they may all be one. Now, we're not all going to be Lew Alcindors. We're not going to be great basketball players. I wanted to be one, but I could self-identify as one, but sorry, a little height challenge. And you don't want to see me dribble a basketball, please. But we can all be one in our faith in Jesus Christ. And before the cross, we're all of one equal stature. We're blessed. We're redeemed. We're saved. Regardless of what the external is, we can be in the raggediest clothes coming into this place, but when we appear before Christ Jesus, we are equal. Nobody taller, nobody shorter, nobody fatter, nobody thinner. Well, I hope it's all. Nobody older. Nobody younger. This purpose is that they may all be one through their belief in the Word. Father, the Father is in Jesus, and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. This unity of God, Jesus, and the disciples is so that they would have faith that God has sent him. The glory that you've given me, I've given them, so that they may be one as we are one. See, there are so many of these phrases that are so that, in order to. This is done so that. This is done in order to. Jesus performed those miracles so that people would realize that there was a power on earth through Jesus Christ that could raise the dead, heal the lame, cure the blind, give sight to the blind, and make those who are deaf hear again, and the lame walk, the lepers to be cleansed, and the dead to be alive again. Jesus says, I in them and you in me, that they may have complete, that they are completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Jesus, on that night, he gave them a new commandment. He said, love one another as I have loved you. Now, earlier, when Jesus was questioned, they said, what's the greatest of the commandments? They were looking to trap me because there are 10 commandments. And it's like, well, which one of those is the greatest? So he says, the greatest of these is love thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, and thy strength. And the second, no less than that, is to love thy neighbor as self. See, he captures the first four in love God with all the heart, soul, mind, and strength. The following six he captures in love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, in this upper room, what he tells them, the disciples, is love one another as I have loved you. And now Jesus tells them, so that the world may know that you have sent me and loved them as you have loved me. See, Jesus is all about extending the love of God. Now, if a parent who loves a child, well, they're just going to let them do anything they want to do, right? Because that's all about love. You just let them do whatever they want to do. Excuse me. Exactly. If you love them, you're going to tell them what not to do. You're going to give them latitude. You're going to give them freedom to do those things that are wonderful and powerful and are going to be exciting and all those types of things. But the things that put them at risk, whether it's a physical thing or it's a moral thing, you're going to try and comfort them and guide them and direct them and advise them not to do those things that they're going to pay dearly for in the future. Now, we recognize that my parents told me many things that I shouldn't do. And then I promptly went out and did those things. God still loves me, and so do my parents. But the point is, even though those things are there, because Christ has been sent by God to demonstrate and show the love, we have the love of God through Jesus Christ, and we are to replicate that and extend that through everybody else that we meet. In verse 24, Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am. John 14, when he first starts that, let not your heart be troubled. I go to my Father's house. There's a place prepared for you. And when I get there, I'm going to come back and I'm going to get you. Let not your heart be troubled. Which you have given me because you have loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you. And these that know you, and these know that you have sent me. In other words, Peter, James, and John saw Jesus on Transfiguration. They saw the glory of God. They know that Jesus is the real deal. And that was revealed to them, not by the rabbis, not by the reading of the Torah, but by their observation of Jesus in the world. I made known your name to them, and I will make it known so that the love with which you have loved me loved me may be in them and I in them. See, it's all about this being completely one. The music, the songs that we've sung, the anthem that was there, we are one. How? We are one in the Spirit of the Lord. Because Jesus says, I must go to the Father, as that balloon was going up, as Cheryl was letting that balloon ascend. Jesus goes to the Father. Why? So that the Father will send that advocate, that comforter, to be with us, to explain, to help us, to be there as an advocate for us. And by His grace and His presence, the Holy Spirit touches each and every one of us, starting even at the earliest of ages. Now, here's something interesting. You know, these young... all... completely one in the Spirit. Shalom.